his station, he says. Now, talking of stations, rail stations is what we're going to talk about today. Barry Kenny from Irish Rail is here. You put up your ticket prices today, but a number of listeners want to know, why is it when you buy a ticket you're not guaranteed a seat?
Well, I suppose we have two businesses. We have the Dart and Commuter, and I would say that on those businesses that very much the offering is transfer A to B, that in particularly in urban areas and internationally this is the case. It is the journey on heavy urban
systems. It's the norm to expect people to stand because it's a short journey.
Yeah, obviously, exactly.
Dublin to Sligo is not a short journey. And since you have your apparently enhanced route there, we've been inundated with complaints from people who are saying you could have 20 people standing per carriage.
No, well, that's not the case. I mean, we are phasing in these trains, to be clear. And also, it'll be on Monday week that we increase the frequency on the route from 5 trains each way a day to 8 trains each way a day. And with these new trains coming in and increased frequency, we're going to be increasing the seating capacity right across all of our routes, as we've done on Dublin-Cork last year. And I do say, yes, it's not acceptable that people have to stand on intercity journeys, and that's what the investment programme and that increase in services is about.
Do you get compensation if you have to stand, having purchased an expensive ticket for an intercity journey?
We have refunds at this stage for delay situations. In fact, we're the only mode of transport that has guaranteed refund vouchers in delay situations for greater than an hour. There isn't refunds at this point in time for standing.
It's not cash or not for standing. So even if you have to stand the entire way Dublin to Cork, having spent €64.50 for a ticket, you don't get a refund.
In fairness, Matt, that doesn't happen. The fact of the matter is that there is increased frequency on that route, increased frequency coming on all the various routes. Indeed, we've already increased the number of trains on quite a number of the routes.
Mark Leeson from Rail Users Ireland is with us as well. How much of an issue is overcrowding on Irish trains?
Overcrowding is a very serious issue. Overcrowding is a very serious issue, particularly in commuters in the Dublin area, Maynooth line and the Drogheda line. I understand Barry's point that it's a commuter line and you will have to stand, but there's a difference between standing and overcrowding. The conditions people are travelling in there are quite atrocious. There's persistent trouble with the heating. It's either too warm or too cold. And there's also issues, particularly on the Drogheda line, where trains show up short regularly. Instead of being 8 coaches, there's 6 or 4. And there's no prior notice of this, so everyone ends up cramming into the last coach.
Is this true, Barry Kenny?
Well, there are some instances where trains are shorter than they are scheduled to
be.
Why? Fact of the matter is that we are absolutely at the limit of our fleet at the moment. As these new intercity rail cars come into service, they're going to free up commuter-type carriages that are on the Sligo and Rosslare lines, increasing the overall pool of carriages for commuter routes. And so this issue will be eliminated very quickly as a result. But the fact is that we have increased frequency on these routes. We are in an unusual position, I think, in Ireland particularly, in that the nature of planning in this country means that the standing on commuter routes is probably longer than you would experience in other countries. But, I mean, that is quite frankly a factor of the planning which allowed all this development to take place before the investment which is taking place now.
What about issues that have been raised there by Mark, such as heating, and other issues such as toilets consistently been broken and out of order, catering services been unavailable at times simply because the people providing them haven't turned into work?
Again, we have a new rail catering provider on our trains, Rail Gourmet, and I think that's a situation that is improving. We're obviously managing that closely with Rail Gourmet to ensure that the consistency of service does improve. In terms of
that there would be a service on many occasions, let alone the consistency of what's been offered.
And the evidence to date is that it is improving in that regard. And that's something that we would manage very
closely.
Why did
you outsource it? Why don't you just do it yourselves?
Well, we feel that, you know, our core business is running trains, and catering really, I think, is not as was appropriate for our own environment, and we have a specialist company, Rail Gourmet, who have come in to operate this service.
Mark Leeson, what are the other issues?
Particularly fares, I think, are a big issue to people. They don't feel like they're getting value for money. I mentioned you have to pay. You don't get a refund if you stand. If you book your seat and have to stand, you will get a refund. Or if you book first class seat and there is no first class, you get a refund.
Sorry, can you book a ticket for a first class compartment and then go to the train and find that there isn't a first class compartment?
It has happened.
How often does that happen, Barry?
It would be, I suppose, unusual, but it has happened. And I suppose at the moment we're introducing new trains on our various routes and switching the systems over to represent the new trains and ensure that what you're seeing is what you're getting.
And the price increase today, Mark?
The price increase, people don't feel that they're getting value for money, as I said. They feel there's no accountability in the system, that they're crushed into a train. It's late, it's delay, it's late, it's short, the heating's not working, the toilets aren't working. And they feel the standards that Irish Rail claim to uphold, there's no independent overseer to verify those standards are actually...
There's no regulator there is for the airlines or the airports, is there?
There is no regulator at the moment. And the key thing is that Irish Rail do have an agreement with the government to provide a certain service level, but the actual agreement is not binding on either party.
I think it's important to state that we actually sought to have measurable standards introduced that the Department of Transport measures on that we would publish. The fact of the matter is that customers are responding to our services. They're travelling in ever-increasing numbers. We're providing better quality of trains. We're providing better comfort on our services. We're improving our stations. We're improving accessibility right around the network. The fact of the matter is that people do see value for money because, in terms of our fares, we're amongst the lowest in Europe. You will not get lower commuting fares in terms, particularly when you take into account the tax saver discounts. If people's employers are registered with tax saver, they get 47% off the cost of their commute.
Is that true, Mark?
I think the service has improved. However, as Barry has mentioned, the planning issue has forced more and more people have no choice but to get on a train in, say, Drogheda or Maynooth or Dublin 15. It's the only way to get into town to make their job in the city centre. So people really may not have a choice but to get the train to have a realistic commute time.
But why would
you? A listener says standing up on a train for up to an hour is hardly a short journey. Colm says, do trains not have a maximum number of passengers by law like buses and cars do?
They don't, because obviously you're working in a safer environment by definition. So in Dart and Commuter, I mean, Japan is the safest rail network in the world. And that's where, and I've said
this
before.
We're not quite like India where you're enforcing people to hang off the roofs, are you?
Absolutely not. But I mean, it is a factor. And you know, your caller says, you know, people standing for an hour. And that's a factor of the planning, and we have to work through that, increase the frequency. But I guarantee you, we are honest and upfront about this all the time. As we expand frequency and as we expand capacity, those trains will fail because people do not want to be stuck in their cars for 2 hours.
How much more capacity are you going to add? Because there's examples from all over the country coming in about overcrowding, particularly at weekends, Fridays and Sundays, people leaving Dublin on Fridays to go to various country cities and towns, people coming back on Sundays. Always overcrowded, and it has been the case for years.
And now we're getting the new trains and we're increasing the frequency across our routes to be able to provide greater capacity on these routes and meet that demand. And the Dublin-Cork experience has proven a huge success, and that is going to be replicated right across the network.
Mark Leeson, would you have any sympathy for Barry Kenny and Nord Éireann that perhaps they've been a bit shortchanged by a parsimonious government who just simply hasn't given them enough money to have enough trains on the lines?
I would have sympathy from 5-10 years ago. There was a need for investment, a desperate need for investment. The money has gone into the infrastructure. The new trains are arriving in. But what people are complaining about are basic things. They're complaining about trains not arriving on time, staff not being in uniforms, not wearing name badges, staff not being helpful, booking offices which aren't open. They're not investment-related issues. They're customer service-related issues, which no amount of investment in infrastructure are going to solve.
I think you find on every route in our network you have over 90% punctuality on our service, and that is continuing to improve.
Yeah, but Mark, you actually have a theory, haven't you, that the timetable has been twisted a little bit to allow for the punctuality targets to be met?
They have. I mean, if you look at Dublin-Cork, if you go Dublin to Cork, you'll find that it takes a good 10 minutes longer to go Mallow to Cork than it does to take from Cork to Mallow.
The fact of the matter is that we have overall allowances in our timetable because we are investing along our network. We are investing in Dublin Kildare.
Flexibility. No. If you give yourself extra time on the timetable, then of course you'll be able to hit the punctuality targets.
The fact of the matter is that you make allowances in the timetable for infrastructure works, for engineering works that are ongoing. We will reduce the journey time still further. But what people want to see in their schedule is a timetable that can be met, that can be regularly met and can be reliably met. And 2 hours 45 Dublin to Cork, you will not do it by car. You won't probably do it by plane if you take the transfer from city to airport.
The planes are a bit faster.
If you take the transfer from city airport, having to check in God knows how long in advance, you won't.
Well, maybe is that a fair point, though, that if you do fly, you have to get to Dublin Airport, you have to check in an hour in advance, then you fly to Cork, you have to get from Cork Airport into the city?
Well, it can work both ways. You might get a better deal flying, you might get there faster and cheaper on the plane. But the point to note is that back in the late 90s, before all the investment, the fastest train from Cork to Dublin was 2 hours 20 minutes.
With a non-stop service, you've got additional services in the Dublin area. You've got additional services in the Cork area, which have to be provided for, and you know this, Mark.
Sunday.
Well, I mean, you know what
Sunday,
I mean.
Sunday, Barry.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, I'm surprised that you're being, you know, deliberately being simplistic when you actually know this stuff yourself, and you know, like to preach about the fact that you know this stuff yourself. The fact of the matter is that, you know, the airlines are a niche player. We are the absolute dominant provider on the Dublin Cork route because frequency, because of the speed, because of bringing people to the city centre in those times. We had 3 million passenger journeys on the route last year, up about 15%, and that will continue to grow.
Listener paid 50 quid from train from Limerick to Dublin, had to stand the whole journey. Is that acceptable to pay 50 euro? It's not a small sum of money.
No, it's not good value. It's not good value, and it's not what customers should expect, and that is why the frequency is improving, and that's why that investment is coming through. And I wouldn't accept that, you know, it's a parsimonious government. There was an historic deficit that had to be made up, and as Mark alluded to there, the infrastructure from a safety point of view had to come first.
Listener here alleging there's a full brand new passenger train sitting in Limerick Junction for about 3 years which hasn't been used. You don't have trains that have been out of use.
As each train comes in, as each new train comes in, it has to be tested and commissioned. There are about, I think, 60 of these carriages in the network. We have, I think, 18 of them in at the moment, and they are going to continue rolling out over the coming weeks and months.
Do you put up the fares for particular routes at weekends, like Friday and Sunday?
Yeah, what we do is we have discounted fares at the off-peak, because, I mean, there isn't a transport mode or thing anywhere that charges the discounted fares on Fridays and Sundays. They are the busiest times, so you charge the full fare.
Listener heading to Tullamore from Houston. The train's leaving 20 minutes late. He says it's ironic that this is happening on the day the price for his ticket has gone up.
Well, it's unfortunately I have the phone off, so I can't check that one specifically for you, Matt, but apologies to that customer.
Okay. How long is it all going to take to sort this out to make the trains run on time?
As I said, you know, the punctuality is improving. It will continue to improve. We're putting in the infrastructure, we're putting the new fleet in place, and I think, you know, improving our overall performance.
Mark Gleeson, I'm going to finish with you from Rail Users Ireland. Has there been, could you give any sort of credit to Irish Rail for having improved things in recent years?
Well, certainly the trains if you're lucky enough to be on a route where you've got a new train, the trains certainly have improved in terms of their quality. If you travel to Cork, you're going to have a very nice, comfortable interior, nice air conditioning. But really,
I've heard complaints about the quality of those trains as well, that they mightn't be the best ones.
They shake a little bit. I think, in fairness, you know, we have 15% more passengers. People have responded to a quality train. They're responding on Sligo. They're going to respond on others. Every person on Intercity by the end of this year will be travelling a new train.
All right. Mark, any final points? Sorry, I cut you off.
I think Irish Rail have a lot to do to tighten up operations, to bring it up to international standards.
That's almost like the ad, isn't it? Getting there eventually, or whatever it is.
A lot more to do with somebody else's slogans. I was going to say.
All right. Thank you very much, Barry Kenny from Irish Rail, Mark Leeson from Rail Users Ireland. 53102 is the number.